When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Constable Mark Rumheller here, filling in for Nick and Ken today. We're going to continue moving along, talking about the NBA playoffs. We just touched on the Mavs and Clippers. We're going to be bouncing all around from east to west, talking about the Knicks and Sixers here coming up in just a few moments. We also have a great lineup of guests going forward. Pat Boyle, co-host of BetQL Five Star Weekend, he's going to join us at 4:20 next segment to talk a little NBA. And Mark, Pat just tweeted that he's got a juicy pick that he has been cooking up earlier today, and he's excited. It might be his favorite bet of the entire postseason. So I'm excited to see what he has to say, because it's a pretty big tease that he is putting out there for us.
Yeah, Pat knows his stuff, man, and he delivers. So I'm going to be antennas up on that one. I might open up the old BetMGM Sportsbook account right before he hops on so I can get in right away. So I want to see, hopefully, you know, his line of thinking aligns with mine. Last time we had Pat on the show, we went head to head and ended up on the losing end of that. So rather than seek revenge against him, I think we should align on this one and, walk to the window together.
Yeah, if you can't beat him, join him, right? That's how the saying
goes.
That's
right. All that matters is the money in your pocket. I got no ego when it comes to cash.
That is exactly right. Andy Hart, co-host of the Six Rings podcast, is going to join us at 5:40 to talk a little NFL draft. And then Joe DeLera, host of the Cash That podcast, is joining us at 6 p.m. to talk more NBA. We're going to be bouncing all around. We're with you for the next 3 hours. We're also with our friends over at Stadium from 4 to 6 in the East. We'll simulcast over there, so you can check us out there as well as youtube.com/Odyssey Sports. And as always, if you miss any of the show or want to listen back, you can find us on the free Odyssey app. Mark, diving into Knicks and Sixers. The Sixers, like, they didn't want to play the Celtics. Obviously, no one wants to play the Celtics. But the Knicks kind of got screwed here, because they could have had a Heat team with an injured Jimmy Butler had the Heat gotten past the Sixers. So I bet you the Knicks are kind of like kicking themselves a little bit. I mean, it wasn't up to them at all. They had nothing to do with it. But the Heat almost beat the Sixers in that play-in game. And if the Heat had won, they would be playing the Knicks. So Philly is a big step up from a Jimmy Butler-less Heat team. So the Knicks are going to have their work cut out for them. This is even. The series. -110 on both sides. Am I looking at that right?
Yeah, coin flip.
This series could go either way. I am convinced that the Knicks are going to win this series. I'm sorry to say. But I don't like what I saw from Joel Embiid in that play-in game. He did not look like himself. In your estimate, is that lingering injury from what he was dealing with? Or is that just reconditioning? He's just not quite back up to game speed yet.
And it's just going to be a long answer, but yeah, I think it is. I think it is the lingering injury, but also I don't think that it's wise for bettors to expect Joel Embiid to ramp himself up into peak condition during this playoff run. I think this is what we're going to see out of Joel Embiid and the Sixers. What I saw in that playing game was a lot of what I saw the past few years. You know, when things weren't going their way, you know, hands were on the hips, body language was not great. Now they got the win, and Nick Nurse did some great, some good things in that game. But that was a Heat team without Jimmy Butler. Like, it was not an impressive win at all. The fact that it came down to the last minute, I know a lot of people who had Sixers -4.5 that were, ripping their hair out, screaming at the gods after that one, because they should have handled that Miami team very easily. That being said, Kate, like, when Embiid is on the court, the Sixers have been very successful this year. I want to say that they win roughly around 68% of their games. You know, the record with Embiid has been phenomenal. So when he's on the court, he's a difference maker. But I just think that this Knicks team is really tough, man. And I hate to say it because I don't want to bet against my own team. I want the Sixers to go on a run as a fan. I want to have that energy in the city. But I think that this is a real tough matchup for them. I mean, they have big guys down low in the front court that can give fouls to Embiid, that can make him work. And I think that's the key, right? So when you have Hartenstein, you have Mitchell Robinson back down low, they're going to make him work. And this is a guy coming off injury that is not in tip-top, you know, conditioning in a rough physical seven-game series. I don't like it. I bet this a lot of different ways, Kate, but one of the ways I did bet it was the Knicks to win the series. I got minus 110. That was good enough for me. I do think that they ultimately advance in this one. I think it might be a little bit easier than, you know, I would hope for as a Sixers fan.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Joel Embiid comes off of an MVP season. He starts the year unbelievable. Ends the year up pretty unbelievable too. I mean, despite that injury, a big chunk of time he missed during the regular season with that injury, but picked up kind of right where he left off. I almost felt like he looked better in those first few games back than he did in that play-in game. So that was a little surprising to me. Averaging 34 points on the season, that's insane. But in that play-in game, like a lot of, you know, the drop coverage he was playing, he was like back all the way below the basket. Like he wasn't up defending anywhere near where he should have been. And I think a lot of that is fatigue and injury, both of those things kind of combined. So what do the Knicks have to do? Like just attack Embiid over and over, put him in the pick and roll, make him play every possession defensively and tire him out. Right. And the Knicks play at the slowest pace in the league. Yeah. This is one thing that I'm very interested to see. And I think we'll get a sense of this in game one. The Knicks play at the slowest pace of any team in the league. They like to crawl up the floor. Maybe they go a little faster. Like that plays into the Sixers' play style a little bit more. But you get Embiid needing to sprint up and down that floor. I mean, he's typically the trailer regardless. But in that playing game, he was like way behind everyone else. Where if you are attacking him defensively and you're picking up the pace a little bit where he's having to get up and down the floor, he's going to be gassed by the second half. And I think that's the Knicks recipe to beating the Sixers team and doing it fairly easily, like you said.
Yeah, it might be a situation where we see them play with a little bit of pace early and try and jump out to a lead and make the Sixers play catch up and then try and, you know, wear them out down low, start attacking Embiid, make him play defensively. Even if, you know, I'm not saying that they need to feed the ball inside and challenge him. He's obviously one of the best defensive players in the league. Like you don't want that to be your game plan, but you want to move him, get him, have him moving around, force him to guard people, you know, in the front court and attack him that way. And the biggest problem I have with the Sixers in this series is that it's really Embiid and Maxey from a scoring like perspective. I don't think anyone else is going to be able to step up consistently. And I think that's what they're going to need in this series. It's going to be a real physical series and they're going to need guys to get tough buckets against this tough Knicks defense. And I don't think they have them outside of Embiid and Maxey. And that's going to carry them a little bit early in the series. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe the Sixers steal a game, you know, game one or a game two in New York. But after that, I just think they're going to get worn down.
That's something I was going to ask you. Like, Tobias Harris, can he consistently be a number three option scoring-wise? I don't think he can. 9 points in that play-in game? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah, he had an off-shooting light. He has had some big games of 20-plus points, you know, 15 fairly consistently. But you put him in these big moments, and he's just gone. And the only way that, well, not the only way, but, you know, you could maybe get a big game out of Nick Batum. Like, you're going to have another game from someone like that. I don't think Batum's going to be the person to repeat that performance. I mean, that was his highest scoring game in, I believe, over a year. But you're going to need, like, a Buddy Hield or a campaign to step up. But a lot of those players, where they score, where they do their damage or, you know, their contribution to the scoring is in transition. If the Knicks maybe start the game quickly to tire Embiid out a little bit, slow it down in the second half, those transition opportunities might not be there for Philly. So I'm concerned, Mark, for your Sixers. I do think, however, that Philly matches up fairly well against Brunson. Like, they have some players that can defend him, whether that's Anthony Melton, Kelly Oubre. He's long, he's agile. I still don't think that's going to shut Brunson down completely, but at least maybe slow him up a little bit or force other guys on the Knicks to have to step up, similar to those role players I just talked about for Philly.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned about Brunson, they're not going to slow him down completely. And the reason you said it, he's a dog. Like, he's going to get his. Like, we know he lives for these moments. He can deliver in these moments. So they're not going to shut down Brunson. And Brunson's going to get his. But, you know, the key here is that just the lack of scoring options. Like, you know, between these other guys, like, they're not – you can't count on him consistently. Tobias Harris, I feel like he's been in Philadelphia forever since the beginning of time, and we ask this question every playoff series. Like, can he be consistent? Can he be that guy that we gave the contract to? Oh, yeah. He's getting a ton of money, and every year we ask the same thing. Like, maybe this is the year Tobias Harris, like, steps in and, you know, really fills that void and is the, you know, the third scorer, and it never happens, and it's not going to happen. So now we're going to expect it to happen against this Knicks defense. The way the Knicks play basketball, we expect Tobias Harris to just, you know, have this outer body experience and become, you know, the third piece to Embiid and Maxi. Like, it's just too much for me. Like, I think the Knicks get it done in six. I bet that at BetMGM. I bet the Knicks to win the series 4-2 at plus 650. I also bet some Knicks minus 1.5 games. I don't think it goes seven. I think it's more likely to go 5 or 6, and I think that's the best way to attack it. I think the Sixers can steal one early, whether it's game 2 or game 3. But after that, I just think they're going to get worn down. I just don't think they're a good enough team right now. The way, you know, Embiid coming off the injury, and again, I don't think they have the supporting cast that's going to step up around him and Maxi. It's just going to put a ton of pressure on Maxi. That's going to affect him defensively. I don't know. This is a big, big task for Nick Nurse, but it just seems like it's another, like, playoff series with the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's going to end up the same way.
Yeah, like, where do you go from here, right? You couldn't get it done the past couple seasons.
They're not a team that historically has taken a punch well, you know, and that's kind of like the analogy. Like, they know they're going to be in for a rock fight with this Knicks team. And that's not really their MO, is like, hey, you know what? We get in these battles and we overcome adversity. They're a front running team. And they have a guy like Joel Embiid who, listen, if he has the ball and the game is on the line at the end of the game, or there's less than a minute left in the fourth quarter and the ball is in his hands, the Sixers have a great chance if they're, you know, within a bucket. But I don't know if it's going to be that situation too much.
Well, and being in the playoffs too, like, kind of disappears a little bit. And some of that is like the injuries that he's dealt with, but averaging less than 25 points per game in 3 of his 7 playoff series, and has only averaged 20 points or less in 2 of those series. So it's like, maybe this is a little different because he has, over the last 2 seasons, been scoring at an extremely high rate, but I just don't see it happening. And the fact that the Knicks have home court advantage, like, Philly fans are nuts, Mark. Like, I'm just going to be real with you. You guys are crazy, and you're crazy in, like, an annoying way that I just don't like you, right? It is what it is. You guys are nuts. Yeah, and you know it too, by the way you're laughing right there. But the Knicks having home court advantage, Madison Square Garden is going to be absolutely insane for those first 2 games. To finally, those fans have a team that's not only in the playoffs, but is the number 2 seed, is a legit contender, somewhat, you know, a contender to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I should say. That place is going to be absolutely bonkers, and it's going to be hard for Philly to win there.
Yeah, Knicks fans have been waiting for this. Like, they've been waiting for this. So them being, you know, a 2 seed is, you know, outstanding for them. They get home court here. I think it's huge. Just because when you just talk about how Philadelphia is, like, them winning this series when they don't have home court advantage, when Embiid's hobbled, just seems like a lot is stacked against us. Like, them. Like, I think that the betting odds are constructed based on Philadelphia's success with Joel Embiid this year, but I'm not convinced that we're getting 100% of Embiid, and I'm not convinced that Nick Nurse is going to be able to make a big enough difference to where this Sixers team doesn't fall into the same trap they fell into previous years, where they get behind, they start looking at the officials, they start getting kind of mopey, playing a little lethargic, apathetic at times. We've seen that consistently with this team in the playoffs. So I don't know. To me, maybe it's a little too close to home. You know how this is with the Bulls, Kate. Maybe I've just seen it so much that I can't, dive back in and just expect it to be completely different. Could be a little jaded. It's possible, but I don't see it here with the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't think you're all that jaded. I think that's just kind of the consensus around this team from what we've seen in the postseason before. You use the word mopey. Like that just clicked like a perfect word to describe the Sixers. Because Embiid does kind of get a little mopey when things aren't going his way. Like he's got his head down. He's just kind of jogging. It's not great. So we're in agreement. Knicks are going to win this series. Sixers, not their year once again. Pat Boyle is going to join us next to talk more NBA. He's the co-host of BetQL 5 Star Weekend. Stay tuned for his bets. That's coming up next here on You Better You Bet.